Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Push My Buttons Games Podcast, episode 73. It's me, it's Luke. I'm here, and joined, as always, by the Captain.
Hey, everybody, it's Captain Platinum.
He's here. And we've got double guests for you, so...
You know what? I'm mad, though, because Dungeon Master Mike is not here. I'm ruining that. Dungeon Master Mike is not here.
He was supposed to be here, but again, he got out of the gelatinous cube and tripped into a bag of holding. Only Dungeon Master Mike could do this, and he has in fact done it. But don't worry, we are sending our crack team in to go get him out. So soon, the Dungeon Master will return.
But, just roll the D20, man. Just roll the D20 and get him back.
But in lieu of Dungeon Master Mike, we've got a couple of friends on. So Max, say hi.
Hi, I'm Max.
That's Max. Gina, say hi.
Hi, I'm Gina.
See, look at that. Look at that. Yeah. So I got a fun episode for you. We got some news on some developer shenanigans and some E3 stuff. And we're going to wrap it all up with the Game Award winners and our thoughts on that. But first, as per usual, let's talk about the games we've been playing. Captain, what have you been playing lately?
Let's see. I have had to travel quite a bit lately. I think I mentioned that even in the last episode we did, and I had to travel some more after that episode. But I did play about, I want to say it might be at like 15 to 17 hours of Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm. So, what part are you at?
I've been doing some of the Kraven stuff, and I'm now starting to see where we're headed with some like black goop and, you know, my buddy with the black goop coming out. I called what it was going to be. I was like, oh, they did that this time. Okay.
Yep. So, they definitely changed it from normal, but.
Correct. So yes, I am doing that a little bit, and I did the, so I think even before that you have to, because that's where you find out I did the whole amusement park area. So kind of neat.
Did you do all the stuff?
I did. You got to make sure you hit all those little checks on the side. Captain.
Why would I? Yeah, I was like, I said that, and then immediately was like, why would I even say that? Of course he did.
Do you know who you're talking to?
Of course he fucking did.
And I was like, getting ready to go out. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm still missing one. Where is it? And I'm looking at the little. I'm like, oh, it's over there, and I just totally
did. You like how the hat stays on?
Yes, I did.
Excellent.
That was really funny. Basically, that's the main thing I think I'm playing. Other than that, it's been Super Mario Wonder. You know, that's been
how is that? I was thinking about picking that up as well.
I've been enjoying it. It's a good 2D Mario game. I've pretty much 100%ed every level I've played, and I'm in World 6 now.
Okay.
So I have enjoyed it. I'm just double checking to see if there's anything else I missed. I played a little bit of Madden here and there, but not a ton. I'm just trying to look at my recently played. I booted up Assassin's Creed 3 and Assassin's Creed 4 just to get the little collectibles for the PlayStation stars.
Naturally.
Yeah, and Ghost of Tsushima. So I have finished the DLC on that. I can't remember if we talked about that last time, but I did finish the DLC. Mm-hmm. I just did not do the Legends mode thing that I haven't done on New Game Plus. So.
Yeah. When you do a new game plus, you actually run into a different. It's like because you obviously skip that first part where you're fighting on the beach, and after you've already met, I cannot remember her name, the one that rescues you. But you start out in that field where you get the Ghost of Tsushima logo pop up for the first time, and there is a dye merchant there that has a bunch of different dyes that you can only get when you run a new game plus.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's I think about all the dyes I could on Iki. And then back to Mario Wonder, I've enjoyed the new power up. So you have a bubble power that I've found, and the elephant that you can do. And my niece, when I'm home, she was, you know, she's pregnant, you know, for like the third time. She's like, I've been playing the game with my 5-year-old. It's great, but why did it have to be an elephant? I'm really feeling that right now. And she was really frustrated. Why did it have to be the elephant? No, it's a good 2D platformer. I've enjoyed it. There's a special world, so it really reminds me of Super Mario World, where you had that the special spots to go to the special
right,
world.
Right, right, yeah.
So I found two of those. No, three. I think three. I've completed one of them. I was like, oh, they are a little tricky. They show like the 5-star difficulty. I definitely got everything in the first one. I think I still need to try the second one and still finish the game. And then I don't know if it's like Mario Galaxy or any of the others where it's like, oh, play through and do some other stuff. I've been trying to avoid spoilers and all that.
Yeah.
That's all I've been playing. I picked up Mortal Kombat for like $25 somewhere. Oh, and I picked Mario RPG. I was at GameStop and I played it well. So I got both Mario RPG and Mario Wonder both free using points.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. So you have to use the $5 coupon thing because I'm a pro. So, but they were also like, they're resetting all the points or something by December 1st. So I went in and played the game and got them both for free. They were like, you're sneaky. You got two great games from Nintendo for free.
Yes, and you know that Nintendo will never charge less than what they normally do.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. All right, we'll go with Gina. What have you been playing? And I'm wondering if it's the same thing that both Max and I have been playing, and we can turn this into one big session.
Yeah, I've been playing Baldur's Gate. Again, I rage quit after a minute because I got really far and ended realized I skipped an entire section, and so I was like, oh, I gotta start all over again. But I'm back. It's great. Characters are great. Gail's my husband.
Gail.
He just reminds me of Alistair from Dragon Age. I can't help it.
See, I have a group a group chat that I'm in where the thirst for Asterion is through the roof, and I don't get it. He's the one who I immediately take out of my party.
I felt bad when I tried to take him out of my party. I was like, all right, well, I don't need you. And he's like, I'm like, I'm going to put on somebody else. He's like, really? And I thought we had something. And I'm like, damn, I'm being guilted by it.
Bitch, you treat people. Character.
Being guilted. But yeah, amazing game.
Anything other than Baldur's Gate or just Baldur's Gate currently?
You know, I'm usually playing my Otome games, but I'm pretty sure nobody wants to hear about those.
Of course we do.
So I'm waiting for Otome games, if nobody knows, they're Japanese dating sims. The stories get super deep, but I just finished one that's fantasy-based and about an entire world that's being crushed by a plague of darkness. So that was fun. I'm waiting for a new one based on an anime called My Life as a Villainess, All Routes Lead to Doom. And that should be coming to my house right for Christmas. So I'm excited.
I remember playing the dating sim from Game Grumps, the Dream Daddy.
Oh, Dream
and
Daddy.
That was hilarious. That was
chef's
hilarious.
Kiss. Dream Daddy.
Max, what about you? Have you been Baldur's playing Gate. Anything other than Baldur's Gate?
I've tried playing Dragon's Dogma, which is sort of like a Souls-like game, but less so evil. Like, it doesn't hate you as bad as the...
It's not going to give you PTSD.
Right, no. So that's kind of fun, but yeah, Baldur's Gate. I'm the basic bitch that's going for Shadowheart, so yeah.
Yeah. So I want to dive into Baldur's Gate. I'm just going to bounce through the ones that I have been playing that's not Baldur's Gate, so we can just dive in and talk about that. So I started Ratchet & Clank Rift Beyond. Played about an hour or so of that. That was fun. I reinstalled Final Fantasy VII, and I realize that I did not upload my PS4 save to the fucking cloud, so now I had to start all over. Oh. So because I wanted to try and get it done by the time the second half of it came out. So I put about 7-ish hours into that. And then I picked up two other games that are not Baldur's Gate, and both of them are Sonic. One of them is Sonic Origins Plus. It's the old games, 4K remastered. You can play as a bunch of different characters, including like Metal Sonic and Amy in the original four Sonic games. But this the reason I got this is because it has a bunch of the Game Gear games on it, and a lot of the Game Gear games that were never released stateside. So there's a couple Tails ones that I've never been able to play or had access to playing. So I'm excited to jump into that. I picked up Sonic Superstars, which is it's a 3D side scroller platform is the best way I can say it. It's like we had Sonic Generations come out back on 360. Where you played as old classic Sonic, and like all the level designs are all 3D and stuff like that. Like it's not just like pixel 2D, but all the models are 3D. And so this is along those lines. Same with, I believe, Sonic 4 was another one along those lines. So this one is the next one in that installment. And the cool thing about this one is you can play four players at the same time on the same screen as Sonic, Knuckles, Tails, and Amy. So if all four of us hopped on and played Sonic Superstars on PlayStation together, we could all play through the story together with all of us playing individually, but you know, together it's pretty cool. So I put in, I don't know, maybe an hour into that one, just the first couple acts. That's the one that I will play when I don't want the hours of my life consumed by a, I don't know, time vampire. So that's what I've been playing here and there. But then Baldur's Gate. All right. So Gina, what character are you playing as in Baldur's Gate? Like what class?
Before I decided to restart my save, I was playing a bard, as I mm-hmm. do, because that's my class. Mm-hmm. But I think I might go fighter this round or something a little more arcane so I can use more spells, because mm-hmm. speak to animals is the best spell in the game. That's a hill I'll die on.
Just real quick, Jamie, I know we have told the story on here about the bard that convinced me, the barbarian, to seduce a book. You are now talking to the bard that convinced my barbarian ass to seduce a book that almost killed me.
Hit me. That was me.
Wow. I'm impressed.
It was the best thing ever.
Listen, I had like an 8 score in my charisma, and I was still flirting with literally everything, up to and including a snake witch lady.
It was great. It was priceless. Yeah. The look on your face. You
he's like, the book is killing you. And I'm like, what? Words can't hurt me.
It was sticks and stones may break my bones.
Yeah. Yeah. Not in D&D. So you normally play a bard, but you're going with fighter. What race do you play as?
Last time I played as a half elf because of the stats, but mm-hmm. in the new D&D game I'm playing, I'm actually playing a drow. So I think I might try a drow in Baldur's Gate and see how it goes. Hmm.
All right. What about you, Max?
Okay. So I, when I first tried it, I started as a warlock, and that was sort of fun for a little bit, but that there was too many other like treasure chests and locks that needed picking that annoyed me, so I started over and became a rogue, assassin-focused rogue, half-elf.
Okay.
So, yeah. That's
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, that's it. Like, mostly ranged, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I started out as a human barbarian because I was just recreating my D&D character, and he's on there, and I just played a little bit with him, but then I was like, all right, let me try something different. Let me try, but also something that I can still play kind of the same way. So I actually chose a warlock, and I did the Pact of the Blade. So I'm a melee warlock. So that's kind of where I fit in the same kind of play style as barbarian. I might take a couple, levels in fighter later on just so I can get the action surge. But yeah, and I'm playing as a it's a tiefling, but it's the blue ones, and it's not Mephisto, but it's something like that. Oh, my brain right now.
I'm trying to remember.
But yeah, so I'm playing with that, and I gave him like a beard with like Viking braids in it and like long hair, and I gave him like ram horns. And he looks cool as hell. And it fits with the whole warlock vibe he's got going on. And next time I start a D&D game, that is the character that I'm going to use because he's cool. My next question, and I think we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but Max, you said your main romance in it is Shadowheart.
Yep. I know, basic, but
how's that going for you?
Pretty good. Slow going, but pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Act 3 right now, the end of Baldur's Gate, so.
Okay. But
yeah, nothing too spicy just yet.
Yeah. And Gina?
Yeah.
Yours was our favorite kind of wizard.
I love Gale. He's like the Alistair of Baldur's Gate. All he has to do is tell me swooping is bad, and I'm just there.
I don't know. I still have not decided. I did the fling with Lysel for a little bit, and then I was like, eh, no. But I don't know. I might go for is it Kalish, the fire
big
demon?
Lady.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I might do that. Lady. Yeah, I might do that. That I think that might be the way that I go because she's my favorite companion because anytime we do something, she's like, fuck yeah.
Right? Big lady. And I'm like,
I was like, that was, she's got the personality of my old D&D character. fuck yeah, let's do it. Yeah. So yeah, that's, I've been enjoying it, but again, I feel sometimes that there's not enough to do to get me to the level that I need to be to progress on.
That's the problem especially, that I was having.
Like, especially in that first act, until you get to the Underdark. Or the, because I didn't do the Mountain Pass because I'm like, how am I supposed to be level 6? By the time I get there, I have killed everybody and explored every inch of this map. I have done every single thing. I took care of the hag. I saved the lady. I did, you know, I killed all the goblins. I've done everything. And I'm just like, what more do I need to do? Like I didn't even fight the Githyanki soldiers on the bridge because they just kept killing me. So I was like, new tactic. And I talked my way out of it because my charisma is through the roof. But
like my
it's just, yeah.
Part about being a bard, man.
Yeah. Persuasion. Yeah. And that's the really cool thing about the pact of the sword and the ancient one is your, Because then you can use your charisma score for everything, pretty much, for any strength or dexterity. It all goes back to charisma, your spellcasting charisma. And so it just makes everything easier for me. And I can switch between a, you know, just get a packed weapon as a great axe if I feel like doing some axe stuff, or a rapier if I feel like being fancy. But yeah, no, I've enjoyed it, but there's definitely like frustration stuff where it's like, okay, well, I need more XP. What can I do?
I think like what frustrates me the most about it is, since I'm such a pretty much a casual player, because I play for storylines, not necessarily am I going to die.
Yes. The battles, yeah, same here.
The battles, you die at least three times before you figure out the strat and where to move everybody and what spells to use. And it's just, it becomes such a grind.
Yeah, that's the word for it, grind. It's like right now I'm just trying to get from merchant to buy camping supplies. I'm like, why am I just shopping for camping supplies? Like, that's literally all I'm doing so I can take a long rest to heal my party. It's a little frustrating. It is grindy, but I am enjoying it. Again, so far I've put in, I don't know, because I have like about 18 hours I have played in 3 days. But I've played between a couple characters, so I only have like 9 on one character. But yeah, I'm gonna continue to play it. I'm gonna play it this weekend. We'll see what it looks like. I'm getting ready to start Act 2. Because I got to the Shadowland things, and that's when I was just like, I need torches. I need I need the wizard to cast light, because I got all the way down there and I didn't get Gil. I didn't even touch the little purple swirly thing because I thought it was going to hurt me. But you know, I do now. So
I mean, which is definitely, you know, the smart thing to do. You know,
you don't touch the evil infused rock.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But okay. So now we are going to jump into some of the news stories, and I really wanted to start out with this one. There's the game the day before. We have some developer controversy, and I'm going to go through this little bit of an article that I found on it, and then I want to get your guys' thoughts and opinions on it. So The Day Before is a title that had high expectations prior to release, being billed as an ambitious project that would put its development studio, Fantastic, firmly on the map of the gaming industry. Originally announced back in 2021 as an expansive survival MMO set in a zombie-ravaged dystopian future, it's clear to see why the premise of the game originally drew so much attention from prospective players. After many delays and trademark disputes, The Day Before was recently released in a state that was completely unreflective of what was originally promised. Playing more like a basic extraction shooter set on a small and underwhelming map, paying customers were immediately disappointed and felt lied to. While there was a brief glimmer of hope in the way of a post-launch support to salvage the title, a recent announcement from Fantastic has caused widespread outrage, rightfully drawing attention from every corner of the industry. The controversy surrounding The Day Before was already uncomfortably big in the days following up to its December 7th release, but no one could expect that Fantastic would announce its closure as a studio less than a week after the game's launch. This news came in a quiet social media post from the studio, which cites poor sales figures of The Day Before as the reasoning behind its shocking shutdown. Fantastic labeled The Day Before as a financial failure just 4 days after the game was released, stating how all income received from the title is being used to pay off pre-existing debts that the company owes to its partners. Of course, this infuriated the many players who purchased the game, with the studio's shutdown ending any concept of post-launch support for The Day Before and leaving it in a perpetual state of buggy early access. Since then, Fantastic has begun completely removing itself from the internet, with the day before being delisted from Steam and things like promotional trailers for the game being taken down from YouTube. This has led to long-term followers of the project feeling completely alienated and potentially scammed, though Fantastic has attempted to make amends following the predictably intense backlash to its shutdown announcement. In more recent social media posts, Fantastic claims that it is attempting to negotiate a complete refund policy with Steam for everyone who purchased the day before. The studio also stating how it will receive nothing from the day before sales financially. While the studio is not directly profiting from the disastrous launch of the day before, it seems as if it has used the sales revenue to project of the project to pay off debts before shutting down all support for the game, with outrage persisting as a result. Further response from Fantastic to fan frustration has made matters even worse, with a recent reply to a disgruntled player simply stating, "This was our first big experience. Shit happens." Players also have noticed Fantastic appears to be already rebranded with Steam listing for some of its previous games, now naming it as 8 Points instead of Fantastic. Killing all support for such a high-profile game just 4 days after launch is arguably one of the largest gaming controversies of the year, and the continued action of Fantastic make it no wonder that fans are upset with the studio. So, what do you guys think about that?
Ouch.
I actually saw Penguin Zero trying to play it with a buddy in a stream, and they couldn't even connect to the servers. Like, oof. It was a match struggle. Yeah. It just looks so bad. This is like as bad as that guy who had a fake game. Mm-hmm. Almost.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things where you see the trailer that they dropped back in like 2021, 2022, and in theory, it looks good. It looked like a good game. Like there's a lot of people that love the survival MMOs and they love the zombie shooters. So just, you know, seeing like there was definitely the want was there, but just what they put out. And then I feel like I watched a video where they came out and said, "We're not scamming people." And they said it a lot, where it's one of those things where it's like,
if you say it
me thinks you protest too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's one of those situations, but yeah, it's wow. It's just nuts. It's just nuts. Captain, you got any thoughts on this?
Yeah, it just seems kind of odd to make a little bit of money and then pay off some debts and I'd be like, "We out of business and we not supporting." It's kind of shady.
Right. They're just like, "I'm out."
They just yelled.
We made some money. We happy. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, also, that's really not how indie game studios are funded in the first place. They don't give you just enough money to make one game. And if you don't immediately make it up in 4 days, they're asking for their money. That's just not how that works.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to see if this is like played anywhere like CD Projekt Red with Cyberpunk in my mind, but feels like they're two totally different things. But
yeah. And I mean, CD Projekt Red had all that goodwill behind them begin with.
Yeah, right. And then they worked to fix the game over the last few years.
Yeah, and it works great now.
Yeah.
Same thing with No Man's Sky, too. Because there was that whole, we were cheated out of a game that we were promised in trailers and stuff like that. And nowadays, it's like basically the game you saw in trailers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird thing in the gaming industry because you'll get people that, we were promised this in the trailer. And then they're like, "But we want it tomorrow." And if there's a delay on it, they're like, "Oh, this game's never going to come out." And then they lose the momentum. So it's like, as a developer, do you put out something that you know you're going to need to patch? It's going to get initial negative reviews, but you're still on that wave of the popularity of it. Or is it one of those things where you're like, oh man, well, we've got to fix the game and hope there's still interest there when we eventually do put this out? It's like a lose-lose situation for a lot of these developers.
Yeah. Well, and that's why half of EA's, BioWare's Dragon Age team is gone. They were pushed so hard to get Inquisition out on time. Half of them left before Dreadwolf even was named.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And what's the new one?
Dreadwolf?
Is that the one they're working on right now?
Yep. Dragon Age 4 right there. Dreadwolf. I'm dialed into that one. I'm a big Dragon Age fan.
Oh yeah, yeah. My wife's a huge Dragon Age fan too. So she's I remember when they announced they showed that we're working on it trailer 3 years ago. She's been like, okay, when's it coming out? And yeah,
they haven't given us a date yet.
Yeah. So next news story I had, Naughty Dog, they have canceled its Last of Us multiplayer game. Naughty Dog announced Thursday that it's canceled the multiplayer game that was building in the Last of Us universe. The studio says it's been in pre-production on The Last of Us Online, even while working on The Last of Us Part 2. The quote was, "We were enthusiastic about the direction in which we were headed to release and support Last of Us Online. We'd have to pull all our studio's resources behind supporting post-launch content for years to come, severely impacting development of future single-player games." So they said, so we had two paths in front of us, become a solely live service gaming studio or continue to focus on single player narrative games that have defined Naughty Dog's heritage. Clearly, Naughty Dog is picking the latter path. It also says that it has more than one big new single player title in the works. This makes me happy because I want to see less online, like these big like games as a service.
Yeah.
Type thing. So when they said single player story driven, I was like, those are like keywords for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't play much of Last of Us multiplayer when it was out on PS3. Yeah, I think maybe tried it once and I just was like, yeah, not my jam. And I never really played Uncharted when it was on. Didn't 2 and 3 have it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just not my thing. I'd rather have the first player story, and then I think they immediately just announced, isn't Last of Us 2 remaster out in January?
I believe so, yeah. Yeah, it's yeah. Yeah, what do you guys, Max, Gina, what do you think?
I think it's like I could understand why folks might be disappointed, cuz you know, at knowing the Last of Us sort of genre thing, I could see how that could be very popular. However, it might not play to their strengths, you know. Like they said, they'd have to, you know, pull folks away from actually making good games to just maintaining this one. And yeah, I don't really blame them for it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you guys. Like, you know, we play those games because we're interested in the storylines, and you can find there's 100. Different, you know, zombie killer shooter, you know, get with your friends games. The Last of Us is just one of those really good, solid single players that I don't think needs that.
Right. Right. Okay, moving on to the next story. E3 is dead, officially. Yes, I have feelings. I have feelings about this. So for over two decades, the Electronic Entertainment Expo was the video game industry's most important event. For enthusiastic gamers, it was Christmas. The Super Bowl rolled into one trailer-filled event. It served more an important role on the business side, as it was a key way for smaller developers to get their games seen and make deals with the publishers. Now, the Entertainment Software Association announced it's formally retiring the once powerful event for good, and it's quite literally the end of an era. The news will surely elicit a a range of emotions and reactions from the industry. For players with fond memories of watching press conferences, it's sure to be a somber news. Members of the press who hated crunching through a week of fast-paced meetings scattered across the crowded show floor may celebrate. Game makers and publishers may find themselves torn as they're losing a critical venue to showcase games, but also one that charged an arm and a leg to do so. So we'll start with Captain on this one. How do you feel that we're no longer going to have any E3 at all in any way, shape, or form?
It's sad. I think I've said it before in here. I remember being in high school and my buddy was like, one year we're going to go to E3, right? You kind of have that dream. But since the pandemic of 2020, everyone's gone to doing their own, Sony does theirs. They will break them out and put them out once a quarter or once every 3 months. That is like once a quarter, whatever they decide. Right. So they can tell their information when they want and how much they want, but I think people will miss having that con type experience of everybody coming together and seeing everything together.
Right. And they really only opened it to the public in the last few years. And that was something that always irked me, because I think it was like 2018, 2019 is when you could first just buy a ticket to go. Other than that, you needed to be in the industry or be in game media to go there.
Right.
And the second they started letting fans in, all you heard from the media people was the complaints about how busy it was and how they couldn't do this and how they couldn't do that. And I'm like, you guys had E3 for about 20 years to yourselves. This is Comic-Con for gamers.
You took away my exclusivity.
Right. And that's what it felt like. It felt like, oh, boo hoo. Like, okay, cool. I bet you just, Even if it was just, trailers and trailers and trailers, and you could put the press all in one big room and they could just watch it on a TV and not have to run anywhere and just make more room for the fans that actually want to be there, that are actually excited about this, the thing that developers are trying to, sell their games to. I'll let Max and Gina talk on it. But that was when I heard that of the media complaining about stuff, I was just like, come on, guys.
Oh, yeah. I was so sad. Cause like, I remember as a kid, we would literally sit down and watch E3 on G4. And mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like we would sit down and watch E3 and G4 and be like, I want to go there. I want to see this. And now we're never going to get the chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really have much to add on that. It's sad.
So one thing that a lot of people were like, do you miss this? And it was like, yes, absolutely. The amount of cringe that these indie developers would do in their little, They're some dude from Sweden who just programs games. They're like, cool, now get up in front of everybody and talk about it. So the anxiety, but I remember one specifically. It was a Bethesda one, and it was when they announced Fallout 76, but they also announced Rage 2, and they had Andrew WK come out and start singing some of his songs. And, he's trying to get the crowd pumped up. He's trying to get everyone excited. And no one is moving because they're all media people that didn't want to be there, but it was their job to be there. Oh. And I was like, come, stop. Stop. This is terrible. I was like, you got a rock star, man. Like, live it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And also, where else are we going to hear Reggie Fils-Aimé say my body is ready? That is gone now.
Oh, man.
Because they're not going to let people do that on a pre-recorded thing. Yeah, the quality might be better. Also, my E3 drinking game is out the fucking door now. It was my favorite thing. when you see business gamer fashion where it's a t-shirt with a blazer over it that shows that, like, you know, I'm one of you, but I'm also much better than you or more successful. And then also when they say and one more thing, that was when you finished your drink, because every single one of them ended. Oh, and you know what? We got one more thing. And there's a Polygon video on it that sets out the rules to do a perfect E3 presentation. And it is 100% factual. And I did that, and now I can no longer do that because I will not get Todd Howard making oddly sexual comments.
Now we just have to wait for awkward Bethesda.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like Todd Howard when he was talking about Elder Scrolls. He said, he's like, listen, sometimes you're always busy and you might only have one hand. And then he stared at the camera and everyone laughs and he goes, because you're drinking coffee.
Man, I want that on my t-shirt.
Yeah, sometimes you can only game with one hand, .. because you're drinking coffee. Todd Howard, 2018. So I'm sad about it because it was an event, right? It was Comic-Con, and I do remember watching it on G4. But yeah, it's a bummer. It's a bummer for sure. Hey, Captain Platinum, I got some PS5 Pro details that leaked online.
What?
Yeah. So the PlayStation 5 Pro hardware leak that has been doing the rounds has been corroborated. Earlier this week, a post appeared on a popular gaming forum, Reset Era, detailing the supposed hardware specifications for the PS5 Pro. After much scrutiny, the leak has held up and can now be taken more seriously. These have been rumors about the PS5 Pro for almost as long as the PS5 itself has existed. Some of these rumors have not stood up the test of the time, while others are now being corroborated by various sources. Hardware leaks are often accompanied by potential release dates and new information. New information suggests that there have been a grain of truth to these past rumors. Jeff Grubb of Giant Bomb describes the PS5 Pro hardware leak as almost certainly real. He goes on to say that the exact specs are not finalized, but also talks about a new technology developed by Sony that's essentially a proprietary DLSS that uses machine learning to upscale visuals so they can run things at a really high resolution and a really high frame rate. This upscaling technology is apparently the main feature that will set the PS5 Pro apart from the original and the slim consoles. Grubb also talks about the release date, saying it may potentially arrive in September of 2024. What do you think about that?
Should I wait until summer, or just buy my PS5 now?
Right.
Yeah, I will say it's been nice to actually see PS5s on store shelves this holiday season. I've been seeing them everywhere, which is great. So
finally, 3 years later.
Seriously,
four score and 7 years ago.
Talk about the. It almost felt like back in the day when you had to when Super Nintendo and Sega came out and you had to hope that someone had it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just kept having to pop around to Toys R Us and Kmart to try and find one. But it's like, again, my thought on it, it was like, cool, you're putting out the PS5 Pro when you just barely were able to get the PS5 to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Are you not biting off more than you can chew?
Well, and then what do we got? Like probably 2 to 3 years before the 6 is out if they, you know.
Right.
So. But it's
don't worry. It's just going to look exactly the same, but it'll be black like we all wanted it in the first place.
Well, because they have to cycle through the colors.
Right. I remember there was a company that was selling the shell for the PS5 that Sony sued and got shut down because they were selling black ones. And Sony was like, no, you can't do that. And then they immediately started selling black ones. Yep, and I was like, good. Oh, someone beat you to the punch. But well, again,
when they launched it though, right, it was that the faceplates were changeable. Modify and customize to your heart's desire.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question is, will those fit on the PS5 Pro? Or are you going to make me double?
No, you got to buy new ones. That's how that goes. But it's not just PlayStation jumping in on this. So there's a rumor out there of the next Xbox console could be coming sooner than expected. Microsoft released both the Series X and the less powerful Series S system as a part of an ongoing ninth generation of consoles on November 10th of 2020. Since then, these Xbox consoles have competed with the PlayStation 5 and the Nintendo Switch, bolstered by exclusive titles like Halo Infinite and the increasingly popular Game Pass. While most gamers probably aren't in a hurry to see yet another new console generation so soon following the lengthy adaptation period for this one, there have already been quite a few rumors about Microsoft planning its next Xbox console, or at least an updated version of the current Series S/X. Last year, a leaker by the name of Taro Alhon uncovered a keyword for a project codenamed Xbox Keystone, which some suspect is the next Xbox console, since it was listed alongside the previously used code names of Xbox One, or the code names for Xbox One Series X. Others believe that Keystone is instead another iteration of the Xbox Series hardware. The former could likely be the case, as two reliable video game news trackers now believe that the next Xbox console would be coming in just a couple years. After insider Jeff Grubb, same guy, discussed the issue alongside Games Beat managing editor Mike Minotti during the latest episode of Jeff Grubb's Game Mess on YouTube, where he confirmed that another leaker who reportedly uncovered the specifications for the rumored PS5 Pro also claims that a new Xbox console might be launching in 2026, though he's not certain if it's an update or a new system. My guess is that it's a update. It's going to be the Xbox, you know, Series X.
Two.
Light.
X to the max.
X squared.
You know, I gotta wonder though, like, what's the point? What would be the point nowadays of coming out with new consoles?
Yeah, it's just almost there, right?
Like they just really need to just do updated, you know? Like, okay, yeah, this, you know, and just update the specs and all that, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're basically running they're basically just computers you hook up to your TV now.
Yep.
That play video games.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Captain, because you don't have an Xbox currently, right?
I've never owned an Xbox.
Would a new updated Xbox get you to get an Xbox?
No.
That's what they're trying to do. And I don't think it's going to work. And I still want them to put out, and I saw Xbox did one that was the Starfield branded one, where it's a external hard drive, an external solid state hard drive that you can run your PS5 or your Xbox Series X games on, like it was an extension of the actual hard drive. And I've been waiting for something like that, because you can't just plug a regular solid state in there. You have to get, you know, a formatted one. And that was one thing I know that we had talked about, Captain, and we had complained about, is it was like, okay, cool, I can only put three games on this before I have to delete it and put something else on. Or to put something else on.
Yeah, or I get a new game and I got to automatically download 90 gigs and then download another update that's 15 gigs.
Right.
Yeah, gone are the days when you used to get home and be able to slam in a cartridge and start playing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, there's downsides. We can save them.
Yep.
But I did refer to the practice of leaving on your old console overnight and then just picking it back up and turning the TV on as the original quick resume.
Oh, I missed that. PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
When those things, you could put an egg on it because they got so damn hot, but they would still run.
Or when your friends would fall asleep playing Final Fantasy and just see him just laying there on, like, the pause screen, and you're like, oh, this is going to be messy.
Yeah. All right. So we had the Video Game Awards come out last weekend. There were some trailers that came out. Of you that watched it, was there a specific game that popped out that you were like, ooh, I got to get that?
Hellblade for me. But
Okay.
I love the first game. Playing
so good.
Playing a fighty Viking woman. Oh, yeah, that's my jam right there. That's hearing voices. Like, I don't usually go for horror games much at all, simply because jump scares are cheap and meh.
Yeah.
But, like, that one where it just actually unsettles you.
Right.
It is amazing.
It was so good. Like, especially when you play with the headphones on got the voices all around you, and you're like, ugh, this is terrible.
It's amazing. I loved it.
I remember the original launch trailer for that, too. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to see more, you know?
Yeah. The only other one I was really looking forward to was the Sega collection. But yeah, that's your influence, Luke. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I know. We'll touch that one.
He just stole your thunder, Luke.
No, it's okay. Right. It's okay. Right. It is fine. What about you, Gina?
Of course, I'm looking for Final Fantasy. I saw Vincent in that, and I was just like, please, please. And Zach, I gotta know what happens. I do. I just gotta know. And actually, like, the Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League, I'm actually really interested in that one.
Touches my daughter was soul. Like, can we get that? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it touches my DC soul. It's like, all right, I need that. I would play Black Myth Wukong, but I get some serious Souls vibes from it. I saw the gameplay trailers last year, and I was like, oh, I would love to play that, but I'm never gonna. I'll watch somebody else do it.
Yep, that's a game that I would sit with Mike while Mike played it, and I would watch him and be like, that sucks.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not something I'm willing to play. Mm-hmm. But it looks so good. It looks so good, but too much Dark Souls feels for me. Yeah.
What about you, Jamie?
I didn't really get to watch much. I've only seen what you've sent me, man. So, and I think you guys already covered that. So,
okay. Yeah. So for me, it was the Sega collection, where it's remasters of Crazy Taxi, Jet Set Radio, Golden Axe, and Shinobi. Shinobi is redone in the kind of like the new modern retro, where everything is a lot smoother, but it's still like 16-bit looking. I'm excited about that. Golden Axe, it almost looks like it's redone like a 3D graphics like Gauntlet Legends, where you're behind, it's like action oriented, and I'm all about that. Crazy Taxi, Jet Set Radio, they just look like they've been fully remastered and updated. I'm interested to see if they update the music or if they leave. Excuse me, if they leave the music the same.
Like they did with Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 last year, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other one that I'm very excited about is Arkane Studios Blade.
Oh, yeah.
Blade. Yeah.
Yeah, that looks so good.
Yeah, and they didn't say it, but I'm assuming it's going to be, because Arkane is owned by Bethesda, which is owned by Microsoft. So that might be an Xbox exclusive or an Xbox first game.
Of course it is.
So, I mean, it's I think I've got a foot in both camps. So it really doesn't matter to me. It just where I park my ass for the couple hours that I play the game. That's all that really changes. But you now have had three awesome Marvel games that have been PlayStation exclusives. We can throw Xbox a bone. All right. We can let them have one. And you know it'll also be on PC, right? So
yeah, okay, that pleases me.
Well, it'll go Game Pass, just like every Xbox exclusive goes, or Xbox Studios game goes on Game Pass. So you might have to wait a little bit, but you'll be able to play it, and that excites me. Because Xbox deserves something nice. They went out and bought all these studios and then haven't put out any. Yeah, they bought the studios. Well, I mean, a pandemic really does kind of hinder that a little bit. But, like, come on, guys. Come on. Now you don't have an excuse. Let's get it going. Like, you got your systems out there. Yeah, because then it was, you know, it was pandemic stuff. And then it went to getting the chips and all that stuff to get the consoles out there. But hey, you got consoles out there now. You got them everywhere. Let's you know, focus in on some of this stuff and get Xbox some good content.
Yeah,
right. Agree. Was GTA 6 shown? Is that another one that
it wasn't shown there, but it did come out right before the Game Awards.
Oh, okay.
I was just trying to think of what I heard about that. I was like, didn't I hear rumors or see some posts about GTA 6? That's what made me think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember there was a leak of GTA 6, and then within like 15 minutes of the leak, they were like, well, here it is, and they dropped the trailer. I'm calling this one GTA 6, The Florida Man Emerges. Because
yeah.
That's what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna go home and play some Florida Man for a little bit. But yeah, it's great. It looks great. It looks insane. It looks the most Florida thing I've ever seen in my life. So I'm in. What did you guys think of it?
I was watching something on, I think it was on Instagram, where this guy was getting all bent out of shape that there was a female lead. And I'm like, does he hurt?
And it's not even that. It's two. It's half is apparently there's two leads, and one is male and one is female. So it's not even like fully just a female lead, too. And if you're complaining about half of the game, bro,
really? It just cracks me up. I'm like, you know, I remember playing like GTA 3 and all that, but like, this looks like fun. Like, mm-hmm. Let's get lost in mm-hmm. Florida and shoot some gators or some shit.
There better be like Vice City cookie or like cookie Easter eggs all over this thing. Oh, because God, that's what will get me. Like, even if you turn on the oldies radio station and it's just like the Vice City soundtrack.
Oh, that would be amazing.
It's little things, right? It's little right. things.
Or like Love Fist, you know? Remember Love Fist?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Let's do it. Cowards, put it in there. You've been put on notice.
Come on now. You guys know better.
Okay. So, back to the Game Awards. We got some of the... I got a list here of some of the winners of some of the categories, and I'll just go through some of them, and then we'll talk about it near the end. I'm not going to go through every single one because best esports coach is not really something that pops up on our radar too much. So they had the Player's Voice Award, which is the Player's Choice Award, and it was between Legend of Zelda, Spider-Man 2, Genshin Impact, Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty, and Baldur's Gate 3. And the winner was Baldur's Gate 3.
Surprising no one.
Right. So we had the most anticipated game of the year is, excuse me, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Some other ones that were up there were Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth and Star Wars Outlaws and Tekken 8. Best multiplayer game? Guys, take a guess.
DG3.
It's Baldur's Gate. Yeah, it beat out Diablo, Street Fighter 6, and Super Mario Brothers Wonder. Best racing game was Forza Motorsport that beat out EA Sports FC24. This is sports slash racing game. F123, Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 Turbocharged, and The Crew Motorfest.
So there wasn't really much of a competition there. Got it.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. So best sim strategy game, Pikmin 4 beat out Fire Emblem Engage, Company of Heroes 3, City Skylines 2, and Advanced Wars 1 plus 2 Reboot Camp.
One of those games doesn't really belong.
It's true. It's true. So we had Best Family Game. The winner of that one was Super Mario Brothers Wonder, that was up against Sonic Superstars, Pikmin 4, Party Animals, and Disney Illusion Island. Best fighting game of the year was Street Fighter VI that beat out God of Rock, Mortal Kombat 1, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2, and Pocket Bravery. Yes.
Wow.
I don't play a lot of fighting games that aren't Dragon Ball oriented. But I did play Street Fighter VI because you do get to create a person and there's a single player story mode. So I support this.
I love Street
Fighter. Oh my god. Guys, best RPG. Let's hear it.
Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
Why is it not Sea of Stars?
Sea of Stars is really good. I will say that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to gush on how it does. It does 16-bit RPGs right, and it's not just another stupid ass. Oh, this game is just like Earthbound or Chrono Trigger, and it's just filled with too much JRPG bullshit. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. I love it.
Yeah. So it was up against Final Fantasy 16. That's that number. Lies of P, Sea of Stars, and Starfield. Next, we had Best Action Adventure Game that was won by The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, that beat out Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Resident Evil 4, Spider-Man 2, and Alan Wake 2.
Okay.
Next, we had Best Action Game, Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon 1, beating Dead Island 2, Ghost Runner 2, High Fish Rush, and Remnant 2. Lots of sequels.
Okay.
Best VR / AR game, Resident Evil Village VR mode, which I don't think I could get through.
No.
It beat out Synapsis, Horizon Call of the Mountain, Humanity, and Gran Turismo 7.
I just want to watch somebody play Resident Evil VR mode.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I did see Gran Turismo on one of my flights. I thought it did a really good job. I thought it was a good job, worth a watch. I thought I liked it.
Yeah, that's one that I think I'm going to check out.
I mean, after Orlando Bloom, I can no longer say Nissan, it's Nissan.
Nissan. Yep. So we are skipping over best mobile game because they don't count. best debut indie game is Cocoon, not with Steve Gutenberg. This is a different one. Next best indie game was Sea of Stars.
Yes.
Yay.
Best community support. Guys, help me out.
Baldur's Gate 3.
It's Baldur's Gate 3 that beat out Cyberpunk 2077, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, and No Man's Sky. Best ongoing game. Here is we were just talking about. The winner of Best Ongoing Game is Cyberpunk 2077. If we would have talked about this a couple years ago and said Cyberpunk was winning awards, people would laugh in our face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think most. I'm hoping Final Fantasy takes it next year with the next expansion.
So, next, best performance by someone in a video game. The winner was Neil Newborn, who played Asterion in Baldur's Gate 3, beating out Yuri Lowenthal, who played Peter Parker in Spider-Man 2, Idris Elba from Cyberpunk, and Ben Starr from Final Fantasy 16, and Cameron Moynihan from Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Here we go. Best score and music, which is something that I pay attention to in video games, probably way too much. Final Fantasy 16 won this one, beating out Legend of Zelda, Baldur's Gate 3, and Alan Wake 2. One of the rare ones that Baldur's Gate did not win.
Wow. And the music in that game is pretty good, too. So
yeah, it's very good. It's very good. Best art direction was Alan Wake 2, beating out Hi-Fi Rush, Lies of P, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, and The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. And also, again, best narrative. Alan Wake 2, beating out Baldur's Gate 3, Cyberpunk 2077, Final Fantasy 16, and Marvel Spider-Man 2. Best adaptation was Last of Us from HBO, beating out the Super Mario Brothers movie, Twisted Metal, Gran Turismo, and Castlevania Nocturne, which Nocturne is dope.
Hold on, there was a Twisted Metal show?
Yeah,
it's yeah.
On Peacock. Yeah, you can watch it on Peacock. I haven't sat down to watch it yet.
It's got Falcon in it, right?
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Mm-hmm. Anthony Mackie, yep. Anthony Mackie's in it. We'll have to do another like book club, but it's video game movies where we watch them and then we talk about them. Because I had to go back and watch some terrible ones early on in this podcast, and I would like to bring all of you along for that ride too.
The UA Bowl movies.
Yeah, the UA Bowl movies. Have to watch Alone in the Dark.
Blood Rain. My friend and I would like gauge on how long that blood splatter really was. Did that like blood shoot like 3 feet or four?
Mm-hmm. Well, and then it's also right. And it's also like telling that lady's never thrown a punch in her life.
Yeah.
So best game direction. We had Alan Wake 2, beating out Baldur's Gate, Spider-Man 2, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, and Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Those were the big hitters, it seems. And game of the year. Take a guess.
Baldur's Gate 3.
There it is. Beating out Legend of Zelda, Super Mario Brothers, Resident Evil 4, Spider-Man 2, and Alan Wake 2. So those were the winners. One thing I would like to point out is the lack of Spider-Man 2 winning anything.
Yeah.
I think, like, what I read was they were nominated for 7 and won nothing.
Nothing. That's insane. Only Baldur's Gate was nominated for more things. It's insane.
Yeah. I think some people were upset Tears of the Kingdom didn't win more either.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a big year for games. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that came out. So.
Yeah, it feels like that. Like, it feels like almost like 2018, right? Like when God of War and Horizon Zero Dawn and... Oh, man. 2018 was a really good year for games. Red Dead Redemption 2, that's when the original Marvel Spider-Man came out. Smash Brothers Ultimate. Detroit Become Human, Celeste, Monster Hunter World, you know, Far Cry 5, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Fallout 76. Like, it was, 2018 was killer for games. And so I feel like it's not a one-to-one, right? But I do feel like it was pretty close, because we had some bangers this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but still, I mean, I still think they could have won Best Narrative. That was the one that I for sure thought that they were going to get. Or that or the music, because the music in Spider-Man is fantastic.
See, and I'm wondering what... See, and I'm not even really versed in the Alan Wake games, so I'm just like, should I, like, pick that up and see if I can get through it?
So the first Alan Wake game is very good. It's very story-oriented. This one is more of a horror game. From what I've heard. I have not played it yet, but I've heard that this one leans more towards the horror side than what it was before. So if that's your jam, do it.
Only if the lights are off and someone's with me.
We only play this game at noon.
With all the lights on, if somebody's
in the summer.
Hi,
but yeah. So yeah, that is all I had for the show today. Captain, do you have anything else you wanted to talk about before we wrap this one up?
I was just going to say, Sony's also put out their year in review wrap up. So if you haven't done
that, right.
You know, look and see how many hours you've logged this year and how many trophies you've done and all that goodness. I did mine. I was just trying to log in and I'm like, it's struggling right now for me. So I was just going to try to log back in on the PC and I was like, I don't know why it's not letting me in. But I was like, unless I don't think I need that. Maybe that's what it is.
I remember mine just said, you played a lot of Call of Duty this year.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's always fun. There we go. I was just getting my code. It's that whole two-factor authentication. Oops, wrong one. But yeah, no, it's always interesting to me to see how much I actually play, because, you know, I was like, I don't play that much.
Yeah, and then you're like, whoa, 300 hours? What did I do?
Yeah, it's like seeing how, you know, the whole playtime in my Sims 4 install. We don't talk about that.
Yes, we do. This show, we talk about Sims all the time.
Yeah, we do. So, yeah, I played 22 games this year on PlayStation. Which wasn't bad. You got to kick here. Let's see. God of War Ragnarok was my big hitter. 74 hours, 32 trophies. And that was a quarter of my playtime ratio. Then it was Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Jedi Fallen Order, Lego Batman 3, and Horizon Forbidden West were the next ones there. I'm considered a thrill seeker. I just find this is interesting that they put this in there. Then they break down each month of the game you played and how many hours you logged, which I thought was cool. And then it gives you some,
God,
recommendations, but yeah, I hit 286 hours.
You said you played 22 games.
Yeah.
70.
Wow. But you see, I play a game and complete it.
That's the difference.
You play a game. You play a game and play it for 30 minutes, and you're like, "All right, well, I'm going to play some Sonic."
Yep. Yeah. So yeah, that's me. So I got Call of Duty, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Ghost of Tsushima, Hogwarts Legacy, and then MLB The Show 23 were my top ones this year. And my gaming style is gunslinger because I played Call of Duty.
Yeah, I earned 273 trophies, 3 platinums, 11 gold.
Oh, yeah, this is where you're going to blow me out of the water.
And 218 bronze, yep. And my overall went from 377 to 386.
How many hours did it say you had?
286.
Yes, 664.
Woo!
Yeah.
My social style is influencer because I broadcast... 5 hours on the Push My Buttons games Twitch channel.
Yeah.
I should probably do that a little bit more often.
I got 294 trophies. 246 of them were bronze. Yeah, my social style is squad hero because I put 92 hours with squads. That means I played Call of Duty. But yeah. So that was, mine was really heavily influenced on Call of Duty this year, but yeah. And then that is fun.
Did you get to the digital collectible, the spider bots?
Yes.
Yeah. That's kind of cool for the PlayStation stars. So yeah, I thought that was, mm-hmm. that was neat that they got through that.
Yeah.
And then they showed the Backbone. I almost bought a Backbone, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I don't need to be able to play my PS5 everywhere. Maybe I do, but I use it when I travel. It's the Switch, so.
Mm-hmm. Which is perfect for that.
I do.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Yeah. Anything else from you?
No. I am good. Max, Gina, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, it was fun.
Is Max still alive, or did the internet kill him?
I hit the mute button somehow.
Oh,
I am live.
With all the problems we had starting this out, that was a fair assumption.
Yeah, it was.
But again, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll have another episode up for you here pretty soon.
Yeah.
But Captain, what was the thing?
I got to be more like you, Luke. I got to go game harder. So
Harder.
Game harder. Hard.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.